Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And before we get started, guys, please help us get back in the algorithm after taking our small hiatus. Please like this video, share if you can, subscribe, and engage in the chat. That way we can get bumped into that algorithm and people can find our show. We want to start off by wishing our boy TJ a happy birthday, TJ.
A little belated birthday. How old are you, TJ? Put it in the chat.
TJ, can I tell you that TJ is probably the reason why I'm so sad that I'm not allowed to be on Twitter, because like, I want to interact with him so bad. He's so funny. And thank you to our girl, Erica, who
thank you so much, Erica, who got started,
showed us her support. Guys, remember, there is no Illuminati, no lizard people funding MPL. Just me and Linda with our own hard work, because we're not traditional wives. We're just hardworking modern women from the West paying for our own podcast.
Unfortunately, we don't have rich husbands yet.
We got all of our eggs in Linda's basket.
I'm the last hope, really.
We've got all of our eggs in Linda's basket. Guys, we have a show for you today.
We do.
So the border's insane, and the people that are coming through the border are, what was it that they accused Trump of saying? They're not sending their best.
And by the way, TJ says that he is 25 years old, and that is an amazing age. You're still a young man. You have, you know, they say that men only, they age like wine, and you're black. So it's even better. And you're black. You know, you're black don't crack, and you're going to just probably look better and get more money. And, you know, hopefully you gain some skill sets. Online, I would suggest learning some e-commerce, maybe some coding.
DJ's going to be the highest value man. He's going to be paid, and he's going to have like a wife and a kid.
Yeah.
And like completely do the opposite of what the red pill says.
Of course.
He's like an actual guy with something going on in his life.
And then Reyna says that she turned 27 on the 18th. So happy belated birthday.
Reyna. Happy belated birthday to our girl, Reyna. I love you guys. And I'm glad that you're in here celebrating with us.
So today,
getting love from India too. Wow, the chat is doing great today. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the love. Absolutely. So we've got all sorts of things to talk about today. We're going to be talking about how the right has become the new, what do they call themselves? The new guardians of hoeship, and who can be a hoe and who's not allowed to be a hoe, because there's nothing more important to discuss in during 2024, an election year, than guarding people's vaginas and what they're doing with them.
Also,
is it traditional to marry your cousin? I don't know. We're gonna discuss it today. But guys, please show us your support. Share, like, subscribe if you're not already.
And share our live stream. Ever since we got back, honestly, we've had a great success after the show. But during, maybe we're just not posting it early enough. You know, we're new at this. And like I said, this is a hobby for us. But we do appreciate those of you who are here, but today we're going to talk about, you know, we get a lot, especially, well, Bella's kind of like not online, but doesn't matter. We get a lot of heat.
We get
a lot of pushback from liberal Latinos and Democrat Latinos. We are get called race sellers. We get called whitewash. We white passing. They tell us that we have sold out a race. They tell us that we vote against our interest. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Mexicans have the same. It's really crazy. Mexicans attack us. We're not Mexican. I'm Colombian. She's Cuban American. But a lot of Mexicans have this saying that you have un nopal en la frente. It means that you have a cactus in your head. Like basically saying like you look very Mexican, very Latina, yet you vote Republican. I don't know why that matters, because I'm not Mexican. But today, actually, I have a video going viral on my personal TikTok. I don't really use my TikTok for any politics because TikTok is so strict with their policies. But I did put a video that went viral on my Instagram, the one that it's, you know, it's comedy. I'm a liberal Latina. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys saw it. And it didn't go viral on TikTok. It's going viral right now, like 4 weeks after it was posted. And you should see the comments. I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, Trump 2024. There's so many of us, Latinos for Trump, Mexicans for Trump, Chicanos for Trump, blah, 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 blah. But there's also a lot of, you know, Latinos in there, you know, saying all these racist things, being extremely disrespectful, calling us race traitors, yada, yada, yada. So today we want to open up with a story that's actually going viral right now, which is immigrants. A lot of these Venezuelans that have come through the border, as you guys know, we have a border crisis. There's a lot of people here that are unvetted. There's been people arrested already. We actually know through national security that there's a gang of human traffickers from Venezuela, a famous gang. I don't know the name right now, but they are here and they're in the Northeast, New York, Massachusetts, Boston, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we want to start off by showing you guys this video that is going viral right now of immigrants attacking police officers in New York City. And then we want to talk about why it is that there's people like us, for the liberals that are going to watch this video later on, who vote Republican and apparently, according to them, vote against our interests. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of videos on TikTok of particularly Mexican-Americans, or not Mexican-Americans, Mexicans, saying that they want to go back to their home country because the economy here is so bad that they're only working to live. They have nothing to save. You can't get out of the house because every time you get out of the house, you're spending $100 on gas and one meal. So there's a lot of immigrants considering going back to their country because at least there they can afford it. So that's going to be that's interesting, because I feel like that would make a lot of right wingers who are very anti-immigration, period, very happy to know that there's people that already want to leave this country. We're also going to talk about the measles outbreak in Broward County. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I've been talking about it. And we are going to discuss Marjorie Taylor Greene, who today decided to tweet some morality. She had some morality words for women, which is interesting because she is a serial cheater. So we'll talk about that. And a woman is going viral on TikTok. Her name is Risa Tisa. She made a 50-part video series called Who the Fuck Did I Marry? And there's actually a lot to learn from that for women, and also from a marketing standpoint. And then, like Bella said, we will discuss, is it traditional to marry your cousin? Is that real traditionalism? Is that what tribewives should be doing? And much more. But like Bella said, please like the chat. I mean, please like the video. Subscribe, share, and
Help us get into the algorithm. Adam says, hey, ladies, I was just charged for my super chat, but I don't think it went through. It definitely hit my account. Please make sure you got it.
We have not gotten it,
Adam, but we will. Got to find out. We got to get to the bottom of what it is that's going on here on YouTube. So we got a video to play for you guys. This is the situation currently out of New York. This is in a migrant mm-hmm. Center. Let me play this video for you guys first and foremost. And you just set up the clip now.
It's done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was a scene at a migrant camp in New York City. As you could see, a lot of these people are actually beating up the police officers in New York. And here's the thing. And I was talking about it late last night. When you are an immigrant, this year will be my 10th year anniversary of becoming a citizen. I became a citizen 10 years ago in September. So in September, it'll be 10 years. Sorry. And throughout my time here as a legal alien, as a legal, green card holder, right? I think that's the correct terminology. There was a lot of like my mother and my family were always very, even before we moved here, there was a certain type of respect that you had for the American system as an immigrant and as somebody that comes from a country that's poorly ran, that people could pay off the police, that you don't have law and order, that if there's two lanes to drive, the Latinos make four lanes. There's like a certain area of respect, like a certain feeling that you had for the American justice system when you would say, you know, the gringos don't play around. Like if you fuck around, you will find out. And I remember before becoming a citizen, all the times that my mother would say, if you drink and drive, if you get a DUI and you get a felony, if you get this, you're going to be kicked out. You're not going to be a citizen. You're going to have to go back to your country. And so when I look at videos like this, and especially whenever they tell us that we're sellouts and that we don't vote for own interests, whatever the hell that means, I have to look at a video like this and say, well, is that what you voted for? Like, is that what you want us?
Are those the better interests?
Right. Are those the better? Is that the better choice for people voting for open borders, voting for refugees to come here and take over high schools for American that you know, American taxpayers pay for? Children, I think, were sent home, and I don't know which state in New York or which city in New York, because they gave that high school or basketball arena or whatever to these immigrants. Is that really what I'm supposed to be voting for? And are these the type of people that we want representing Latinos, so that when they look at that video, people that already have a certain prejudice or a certain feelings about us brown people could say, that's how they all are. Do you see that? That's why we don't want them in this country. That's why we should build the wall. That's why we need to get them out. That's why we need to ban illegal immigration. They behave like animals. They behave like a third world country. Is that what we really want to support? And here's the other part that people get very uncomfortable talking about, which is there are certain, like our home countries, my home country is a lot more classist than this country, because over here, everyone's supposed to be equal, right? But the reality is that people that are in a poor class system, unfortunately, not all of them, we can't generalize, a lot of them do bring crime. And a lot of them bring these type of problems versus the middle class versus the upper class. It's not to say that you don't have criminals that are middle class or, you know, richer people. Of course there is. There's everything. But there's a lot of bad people coming through the border because it's a lot easier for them to do that than getting on a plane and getting an actual visa. When you apply for a visa to come here for a vacation, there's a lot of work that goes through that. You have to show the American embassy that you have money in the bank, that you have property, that you have a job, that you're not going to stay here because you have a life back home. Do you think that a criminal from Venezuela or Colombia or Peru or Argentina or whatever country is able to prove that to the American embassy? No. It's a lot easier for them to fly to Mexico from Morocco or whatever, or go through El Darién, the gap, right? Actually, Laura Loomers, they're reporting right now, to come here to claim a refugee status and then come do what these people are doing. And that is part of the reason why, for the haters that are going to see this later, why we will support the Republican Party for now, why we will support Donald Trump, why we want to deport people, where there needs to be border security, where there needs to be a wall built. And we're not even going to get into the trafficking of women, into the trafficking of children, which we have discussed plenty of times. We even brought a human trafficking rescuer one time. I think it was last year or the year before. So we don't even have to get into how terrible illegal immigration is for women and children that are coming through the border.
You know, and there's another another aspect that I don't feel is talked about enough, and we talk a lot about assimilation and compatibility. And the unfortunate reality is this, and I see it a lot with my own people because my parents escaped communist Cuba. My parents were one of the first generations to experience communism. Now we're three, four generations in. When you know communism will undoubtedly breed crime because whatever the rations are that you are given through your communist system are never going to be enough to take care of you and your family. So a lot of the times people will have to default to, in Cuba, what we call la maraña, which is the cheating, the scam, whatever it takes so that you
survive,
can survive. And
that is a very different mentality.
Mm-hmm. To Frank, because I'm so tired of this narrative coming from the right privacy issue. Social media application that you have, including YouTube and Google, because Google owns YouTube. This whole entire conspiracy that was created by conservatives has only ruined TikTok. Why is that? Because it's so strict now that you can't even put a clown emoji before you get censored. It wasn't like that before. It was like that after you guys started complaining. And then legislators started putting pressure on TikTok. And then TikTok had to fucking restrict us even more. Okay? This whole thing that China's selling your data. What data are you worried about? Yeah. The data of you looking at animals. Like, what data? What data? What? Did you put your social security? Did you put your, like, what? You can literally go in there anonymous. You could create an, like, what data? Do you put your credit card information? Like, these things are so bizarre to me. Like,
I think that the bigger conversation is, and it's back, and thank God. Thank you guys for hanging on in there with us.
No, but let me finish this rant. Like, I'm so tired because I'm an advertiser. Like, I pay Facebook and Instagram to advertise. And do you understand how much information Facebook Meta has about you?
Well, that's the point.
Okay, about you.
Yeah.
Where they can literally target you based on the music that you like, based on your age, based on your genre, based on everything, your marital status, your income, if you like plants or if you like aliens or if you like cameras or if you like bitches with big titties. Like, I promise you that every single social media application has this. Like, it's so bizarre to me how we're still on this. And like, what you guys are asking for, that it's so frustrating to me, is more censorship, ban TikTok, more censorship, China this, China that, your own government sold it. Facebook had to sell a $278 million, or I don't know how many million dollars, because they data without permission. So this like, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of concerns, because now you can't even go on TikTok to say a bad word, right? Because of you guys that fell to this ridiculous fucking lie of a psyop that has never been proven. This has never been proven. Never. You guys with it? And then our legislators went along with it because they're getting paid by Meta and Google. And they went along with it. What they did was crack down on more and more restrictions on the Chinese app.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the more important thing about
Okay, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, whatever. Liberals are the people. By the way, Frank, liberals are not people that have this narrative. Like, liberal, not conservatives. It's conservatives that have the narrative that they need to ban TikTok because of China and privacy.
And then we've actually talked about this before, which is part of like the bigger psyop that the average person isn't aware of. Facebook was losing market share to TikTok. And as a result, Facebook paid millions of dollars to a Republican advertising firm.
Yes.
Okay, that would target conservatives to make them fear TikTok because Facebook was losing market share to TikTok. Now, I need you to understand something.
And YouTube, by the way.
The only social media platform that has a contract with the state government is Meta. So as long as you guys are on Meta or Facebook or this level of concern, this level of that's not based on any reality because it's all public relations of like Chinaman bad, TikTok bad. They're going to take your information. The only social media platform that has been responsible for putting American citizens in jail for their content has been Meta.
Yes.
And that is a much bigger threat to Americans today, right now, at this moment, than the Chinese commitment to fight 100-year wars against us.
I just had to get that out because I'm so tired of it. Like, I'm so tired of it. Like, I'm so tired of it. And that nobody ever cared about privacy before this, by the way. Like, no, like, as somebody that has been advertising for over 10 years now on Meta, nobody has ever cared about data. Like, ever. It's so crazy to me. Like, no one. until now, until conservatives. The reason why I know that you may not call yourself a conservative, but you have to be enabled to have this type of mentality. I know it's not coming from the left, because the left has actually been
advocating fine for
with TikTok. It's been the right with their ridiculous conspiracy. Think about it. Do you really think if they would have proven, if they actually knew that China was spying, if they could actually prove that China was spying on people and stealing your data, you really think that they wouldn't be able to prove it and actually and shut down TikTok?
And they would have already banned TikTok.
The reason why they can't ban TikTok is because they have no proof. Zero. None. Whatsoever.
Frank got the... Frank's like, damn, my bad.
No, he didn't ask. That's not true. Go up. He didn't ask. He said, don't boy on TikTok. It's garbage. And they steal your data. It's not worth it. Yeah. He didn't ask. Sorry.
Somebody said, then Rafaela said, damn, Candace made me fear TikTok. I'm glad that you brought up Candace.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've been talking about this for a hot minute. Let me tell you guys. Where were we when the live cut off? We were still talking about the immigrant, and I was making the argument that people that come from a communist country have a difficult time assimilating to capitalism. And it's because in communist dictatorships, you either don't have to work or work en la maraña, in the scamming, in order to make money. And that is not compatible. So if you're not ready, if you're not truly understanding what capitalism is, that you are going to have to work, that you're going to have to start off at the bottom, that you're going to have to work your way up, that the American dream isn't free. You have to work for it. If you don't come with that kind of mentality, then of course you're going to be disappointed by what it is that you're experiencing when you come to the state. There's a famous video of this drunk Mexican that he's drunk and they're dragging, his homies are dragging him out to the car, and he's saying, like, si ya saben como me pongo para que me invitan, if you already know how I get, why do I get invited? And this is how us, like Latinos, that left that kind of lifestyle, because I was born here but my family left that kind of mentality, we understand what it is that's trying to come to the borders. We understand what that is. We understand why we fled our countries. We understand what the crime we were leaving behind, the dangers that we were leaving behind. And you also have to understand that even for me being born here, but being first generation American with my Latino parents, the idea of being an American is like, there's nothing better. There's nothing greater. There's no greater like gift that's given to you. There's no greater honor than like, wow, like you get to go live in America and like you get to have these opportunities and you get to go to American schools and you get to like wear like Jordans and have access to these things. That is how immigrants look at the American dream.
Mm-hmm. And also law and order. Believe it or not, law and order. And also there's so many, the reason why Cubans get the most hate. If you go to the viral TikTok video on my Linda Catalina account, which is my personal account, I don't post politics there. I just posted it because I was said, oh, fuck it, I'm just gonna post it there. If you go there,
I'm gonna open a swear jar.
What?
For Linda, every time that she drops the F bomb, that we're on TikTok, we're gonna take us down.
If you go to that video, you're going to see how all the negative comments, the worst and most racist comments from other Latinos, are against Cuban Americans, because they hate the fact that Cuban Americans have been able to protect Miami and have traditionally always voted Republican, and they always get called whitewashed, and you want to be white, and this and that. And it's so frustrating to me, because the point of moving to another country is to assimilate to that country.
Correct.
So, yes, I guess you could say that we are whitewashed. And I guess you could say that we want to assimilate to white culture. Do you know what white people do when they move to countries like mine? Which, by the way, right now, there's so many Americans that are living in Medellin. Not necessarily the passport bros, but people that have work remote, nomads, people like that. You know what they do? They assimilate to the Colombian culture. They try to speak Spanish no matter what. They want to eat the food. They want to follow the law. They assimilate. But for some reason, conservative Latinos or Latinos that don't support the left are not allowed to do that. They want us to continue to have this Latin American mentality of beehive mentality, not independent thought. Everybody has to think the same. Some guy came to me and said something about La Raza. I looked at him and I go, I'm not Mexican.
Well, that's what they tell you all the time.
I have to be with La Raza. I am not Mexican.
But then there's also the other side where if like you're that concerned with La Raza and protecting La Raza is really what's so important, and like it's all about La Raza, then what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you in Mexico? Why aren't you bettering the situation for your family in Mexico?
You don't belong.
Why are you here? Like, the idea that you're going to come over here and complain about how things are done and talk about, oh, we need to keep it alive for la raza. Like, I have a serious problem with people that come here, become American citizens, and then they still say that it's like, oh, I'm Mexican or I'm this. No, you're not.
No,
if
you're
you
not.
Came to America and you became a citizen, you are an American. And right. that is now what you have accepted. Mm-hmm. Don't come over here. Or even worse, there's people like myself that are born here. They oh, yeah. are American, and they'll still be like, oh, but I consider myself to be more Colombian, yeah. or consider myself to be more Mexican, or consider myself to be more anything. No, if you really want to keep La Raza alive, then stay in your country. Stay in your country and better
That's it.
It.
Right. If you care about La Raza so much, then stay in your country and better your country. There's a reason why you wanted to migrate to a majority white country now, even if the white people are at 60%. That is the reality, that you wanted to come here to the racist country that you, oh, they all look at us the same way. That was another one on our TikTok, actually. This guy that said, oh, you'll see how Republicans all look at you the same way. What is that? Oh, like an illegal. Well, you shouldn't be here to begin with. You shouldn't be, like, it's so bizarre to me. But anyways, moving on. Enough with that immigration stuff. We wanted to show you that. Wait, did you show them the video about the Mexican man?
No, hold on, because that we had to restart the entire thing. But I want to show you guys this video that's going viral right now on TikTok of this man. And he is a Mexican. That's basically disgusting. Well, I'll let you guys hold on. Let me pull this up the right way. And I am going to press play now. It's got subtitles.
I'll tell you guys. Yeah.
Can we hear? Can you mute us?
Para toda esa gente hispana que están pensando venir a los Estados Unidos porque quieren hacer billete y la chingada, si vamos para el norte, allá vamos a hacer un chingo de billete. No se confundan, señores. Aquí ya no hay dinero. Aquí si vienen ya no van a ser ni madres. Aquí van a venir solo a trabajar para ir viviendo, para ir el día a día. Si quieren venir para Estados Unidos solo para vivir, vengan para acá. Pero les aseguro que no van a durar ni un año cuando ya se van a querer regresar a sus países. Porque aquí pasa uno bien estresado y la chingada, uno ya no haya ni qué hacer, no es para un pinche lado y para otro, pasa uno como loco ya. Se vuelve uno loco aquí, tanta pinche estrés que uno se carga. Y...
Yes. So basically what the guy is saying that, and actually the caption there, El País de la Gran Mentira, what he's saying is that the U.S. is a big lie. That it's not that if there's people that are thinking of coming here, that are thinking of crossing the border, that are thinking of moving here, to rethink it twice based on Joe Biden's the economy right now, where he says that it's not worth it, that he's considering moving back to Mexico because at least in Mexico, they can get by with whatever, the same way that he's getting by here, because now he's basically working to live paycheck to paycheck. If you get out of the house, just getting gas and groceries is probably $200. And we found, and we're not going to play them all because unfortunately we lost a lot of time today with the back and forth with the stream. But there's a lot of these videos of immigrants saying the same thing. I saw another one of a guy from Honduras, where he said he was done here. He has saved a little bit over $17,000, which I'm sure with the conversion rate in Honduras is a lot of money for them. And he said, I'm going back to my country, packed his bags, moved back. And I can assure you that is actually the situation for a lot of migrants who simply don't see the benefit in being here anymore.
Well, when the really
cost of when the cost of living is so high, the wages are so low, it's extremely competitive. A lot of them are not high skill set, of course. They're picking up crops or doing the things that other people don't want to do. And look, there's somebody in the chat says, I'm Mexican and most of my family in Mexico don't want to move here anymore. I don't see a reason why. I don't see a reason why people should move here. People are living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, I mean, I think that the reality is, and this is the part that's like immigrant, not immigrants. The middle class is struggling right now in America. Like the middle class is struggling. The middle class is counting pennies at the cash register, ensuring that they have enough money to be able to buy the necessities that they were used to getting without having to maybe be that conscious about it just a few years ago. Maybe the money that you had for a small vacation or for small luxuries, it's not there anymore. Like that's going into necessity. So when you think about it, as they continue to destroy the middle class, what hope do mm-hmm. people that are starting off at the bottom have to actually chase the American dream? Because that was the idea. Mm-hmm. My parents came here with nothing. And they made something of themselves. You know, my dad worked at a factory and he did whatever it was. And he was a valet parker or whatever it was so that he could make money. And now he's an entrepreneur and he does his own. He's a handyman. He does his own thing and he's got his clients and he's got his business. And, you know, that's the American dream and the ability to be able to chase that. But when we're living in a society where the middle class is continue to take blow after blow after blow after blow with inflation, the cost of things, the job market, the housing market, eventually what's going to happen is what happens to a lot of the destabilized countries in Latin America, which is that you destroy the middle class so that there is only the upper echelon and poverty. Mm-hmm. And sadly, the American dream relied on a lot on being able to obtain that middle class lifestyle. Yep. You didn't necessarily have to be a billionaire, but you can obtain that middle class lifestyle.
Be able to buy your house, be able to afford 2 vacations a year, be able to go to the grocery store and not spend an arm and a leg. Every time I go to the grocery store, I'm like fucking shaking to see what my total bill is going to be because Churrasco at Publix is $30 mm-hmm. and eggs are $8.99, $10. And it's just, honestly, I don't know where this is going to end, but it's kind of scary to see how many people will be willing to vote for Joe Biden ever again after what we have been through in the last 4 years, which has been horrific.
Yeah, it's honestly been like he's really been the ultimate red pill has been the Joe Biden presidency and how affected individuals have been that, you know, politics has reached out and touched them. It's mm-hmm. not just like, oh, you know, old white men on TV fighting about things. Like it's politics has actually reached out and it's touched them when they go to mm-hmm. pump gas, when they're at the checkout counter. So it's gotten so bad. I mean, what was the calculations that they said that it's been like something like 7 million immigrants that have come in, which is more than 3 states,
right?
More than 3 states in the United States. So we're gonna see where it is.
There was another immigrant video that I didn't want to post on Twitter because Twitter, as you guys know, is such a disgusting place where everybody wants to be racist, everybody wants to be misogynistic, everybody wants to be pedophile. Like it's just everything has been normalized on Twitter. It's the weirdest fucking place in the world. But there was this video of a woman also on the subway in New York, and she was saying, and she looked very, very indigenous. And she's like, I've been in this country for 10 years and I've never seen a child selling candy like we see it back in our home countries. Like that, this is something that like it's very culturally accepted all over South America. If you go to Mexico, you're going to see kids selling in the streets, in the corner streets, candy or whatever. Here, you never saw that. You never see children doing that. But all these illegals coming here, by the way, that some of them are already being kicked out of hotels. I saw the other day, they have nowhere to stay, nowhere to go. They're basically homeless. What do the homeless in New York have to do? They're going to start selling gum on the side of the street. And the lady was like, I've never seen this in my entire life. But that's going to be
the norm.
The norm.
That's going to be the new normal that you can expect to see from our country when you have wide open borders. I can already hear the headlines now. Trump gets elected and he does like mass deportation. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to get 7 million people out. We're not going to be able to get 7 million people out of here.
There's so many
protections. And that's the number that they're sharing with us, by the way, which I don't believe because if they're telling us that it's 7 million.
Over 11 million people.
If they're telling us it's 7 million, it's probably a lot closer to
think about all the people that actually got through the border that they weren't able to catch. Mm-hmm. That come through the night or through certain areas. I mean, you know, it's insane. Moving on. And by the way, I see Lisa here. Hi, Lisa. She's one of our followers on Twitter. Moving on
here. Hi, Lisa.
A very disturbing headline.
Sorry, I can't interact with you on Twitter.
A very disturbing headline from we have to be very, very careful on this platform. We can't say the T-R-A-N-N-Y word. So we have to say trans women here because they force us to be politically correct. And one of the most disturbing headlines that we found is that trans women's breast milk is as good or as nutritious as a cis women. Is that what they call us, right? Cis women? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Breast milk. And it's something that I never expected to really read, but here we are. And so we wanted to bring this up for a few reasons. Number one, because it's completely insane, but also because we really don't know the long-term effects of what's going to happen to transgender women and men in the future. We don't know how any of the hormones that they're injecting in themselves, how they are going to react later on, if their lifespan is going to be, you know, just the same as an average person that hasn't transitioned to another gender. And we also don't know the consequences of what that breast milk, whatever it is, I highly doubt it's actually breast milk, is going to have on children and on the children that somehow, some way we have allowed them to have. Why did we allow these people to have children? I don't know. I do want to bring up something that happened in Japan. In Japan, up to, I think, 2022 or 2023, any person that wanted to transition into another gender was forced to be sterilized. That was the law. The law was no problem. You want to go from female to male, male to female, no problem. You can do that, but you will be sterilized. Why? Because we don't want you to be in charge of another human. And of course, like everything else, it went up to the Supreme Court of Japan that ruled it was unconstitutional. So now in Japan, also transgender people can have children. Do I think that transgender people should be allowed to have children? No, I don't think so. I don't think a lot of these type of alternative lifestyles, actually, I don't think any alternative lifestyle should be having a child, but that's a conversation for another day since we're so restricted on this app. Maybe on Rumble will be a different
story. I guess the things that are, the part that's like confusing to me is that you can turn around the bottle on just about like any common day medicine, like over the counter. Like you can't even take allergy medicine if you're pregnant. Like, please consult with your doctor.
Coffee,
like,
they tell you to be careful.
Be careful.
Alcohol.
Like, there's rides in Disney World you can't ride if you're pregnant. And like there's this like high alert of like awareness of like babies are really sensitive when you're pregnant. You're not just feeding yourself, you're feeding your child too. And this idea, like it's just commonly, obviously, if you think that you're lactating, is because you're taking a copious amount of hormones. So I don't understand the how the science, world
experts, right,
can condone that. It's like, well, you can't have an aspirin when you're pregnant and breastfeeding, but you know, being hopped up on all sorts of hormones.
Remember,
or whatnot,
trans
then
women.
That's okay.
Wait, remember, you're taking it a step further. You're talking about a trans man, which is really a woman into a man. Trans women, which is male to female, they don't even get pregnant. Remember that. So it's like, you know, somebody made a point on Twitter, which was, if men can produce milk, right, can breastfeed, then how come fathers aren't breastfeeding their kids? How come you don't see a regular dad just breastfeeding a child? If the milk is the same, or whatever juice is coming out of that nipple, whatever it is, we actually don't know what it is at all. If that is accepted, if that is actual a natural thing, that we should see more fathers, men, breastfeeding their child, right? Because a man is actually a trans. That's what it is, male to female, right? That's what it is.
And let's read this. This little article here. So there is an article on The Stranger. And let me pull it up for you guys. Second here. This part is really disturbing. So viewer discretion advised. It says, my first time breastfeeding my daughter, by Dana. And it says, breastfeeding is freaky. Not the sucking bit. You're reading The Stranger. So odds are you've seen a boob or at some point. I can't even read this out loud on TikTok because it's so degenerate. It's because when my baby attached to my breast, there was an incredible chemical cascade that ran through my entire body like lightning. Imagine the most electric thing a partner has ever done to you, then multiply it by 10. I could feel my brain rewiring, creating pathways that would permanently connect me to my child. And yeah, I think I got off on it. Don't judge. The mere idea that we have a grown adult.
It's a fetish, by the way.
It's a fetish.
It's a fetish. Just so you guys know. Just so you guys know. A man, a grown man that thinks he's a woman, has a baby sucking on his nipple, getting hard on him. It's a fetish. And you know how I know it's a fetish? Because I think it was last week and I posted it on Instagram, but I didn't share it on Twitter. There was a study released that trans men, so teenage girls transition to men in their teen years. So women transition or start the process when they're the teen years compared to men. Men do it in their adulthood. And the person that posted it posted the question, I wonder why that is. And so I went to the retweets and I went to the comments to see what people were saying. And there was a lot of, rad femmes and feminists who had a lot to say. And some of the things that they said, well, I'll tell you why. Because young women, teenagers, when their body's developing, they're starting to get boobs. Men are looking at them. They're actually embarrassed of their body. They don't want to be sexualized. And as a result, they start transitioning. They hate their body. They don't want to get boobs. They want to flatten it. The whole thing, they turn into tomboys and start transitioning into men. The opposite is for men when they transition later on in life because it's a fetish for them. And when you think about it and you have these discussions about grown adults, grown men, having a baby suck on your nipple and them saying that, yeah, I got hard on it. That was another tweet that we didn't post. You come to realize that we are allowing, I can't say the P word.
You can't say it because we're on here. You got to be very careful.
You got to be very careful. But what you realize is that we have failed children as a society. We have failed children. We have failed humans. We have failed our own. We failed morality. We have failed God. We have failed everything because we are not protecting who should be protected, which are children. That's really where we're at. Are you on TikTok? Are we okay?
Yeah, I was trying to get on right now so that I can see us.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's that for the... And, you know, speaking of medical experts, for those of you who don't know, I know not everybody here has been following from day one, but I am a, you know, anti-vaxxer. I'm somebody that will never vaccinate my children. I hope I don't have to send them to public school, but even if I did, I would be in a state that's friendly to exemptions like Florida. And there is currently a measles outbreak happening in New York, right? No.
It's here in Broward County. So a measles outbreak has broken out in Broward County, and everyone has been asking Linda and I, what do you think about the measles outbreak? Mm-hmm. What do you think about the measles outbreak? And, you know, we wanted to wait and we wanted to just give it a little bit more time. And sure enough, the information lands on our lap. And let me actually pull this up to you guys.
But because, before she shows you guys, I want to say that this already happened in 2019. There's always, every once in a while, there'll be somebody to come. I think last time we tracked it from Israel, and there'll be somebody that comes from outside of the country. And then we have a measles outbreak. Back in the day, we used to have chickenpox parties, right? I had that. Before that, we used to have measles parties. And yesterday I posted an episode of the Brady Bunch. It's called Call the Doctor, I think is the name of the episode. And in that episode, you'll see how all six of the Brady Bunch kids catch the measles. And they're sent home, and the parents are not concerned at all. And the children are actually very happy to be home because they get to skip school. And they don't have to go to school for like 5 to 7 days. And then they're cleared, and all they have to do is stay in the dark and watch movies and have chicken soup and have milk and cookies and be home. Well, that is no longer a thing. That was over 40 years ago, right? Probably more than that, 1960s. Yeah. What is that?
64 years ago.
It's no longer like that. Now, when we have modern day medicine, proper sewer system, potable water, people are healthier than ever. Well, not really, but you know what I mean? We have modern day medicine. Now we fear what the measles is, which is a fever and a rash. And so I posted a comment. I actually posted that under an account called Only in Data. I said, wow, be very scared of measles, a fever and a rash. Be so scared because that's what it is. And the amount of comments, obviously all the hate that I got, I hope you die, I hope you don't have children, da-da-da, the same stuff that all these pro-vaxxers have to say because they want you to basically die. And it was interesting because I never said don't vaccinate. I never said vaccines are bad. I never said they're poison. I never said anything bad. All I said was it's a fever and a rash, which you can easily find that on WebMD. I mean, anyone can go on Google right now and put what are the side effects or symptoms of catching a measles infection? And you're going to say is a fever and a rash. Well, that was problematic, I suppose. And I posted, I bet you anything that if we find out who it came from, it's going to be a vaxxer. And sure enough, we find out through what we're about to show you right now, there was actually a vaccinated person that one of the people.
Let me read the message.
One of the children.
So this is on one of the pages for the actual school where the outbreak came from out of Broward County. And Mama in Weston, an anonymous account, obviously writes, good morning, Weston mamas. I just want to share some information that I know everyone is anxious to hear from me, to hear from more about. My child is one of the confirmed measles cases from MBE. She is what they call a breakthrough case, as she is fully vaccinated. The result has been a very short and mild illness, thank goodness. She had 2 days of low-grade fever, a headache, and a mild rash for 3 days. She was tested by Broward Health Department over the weekend, and we had a telehealth appointment with pediatric associates. She has been cleared to return to school and normal activities and will do so this week. I know people have a lot of questions about the specifics of the case. I don't know anything about the others. I can tell you that my daughter isn't in third grade, so it's not contained to just one classroom. I would have loved to just share this using my name, but there have been many very angry messages on the topic, as we already know that people turn into demons when they're talking about the side effects of the vaccines. And I would have loved to just share this using my name, but there have been very angry responses. Hopefully no one will put the anger towards these children. So very interesting, as we would have guessed. Yeah, the outbreak isn't coming from the unvaccinated. It's apparently looks like it very much is coming from the vaccinated. And, you know, I was having the conversation, and then I have had the conversation several times, and we'll get off the topic quickly because we know how it is that the platforms rate this content. But, you know, there is a problem when we won't look at an entire industry that clearly needs to be looked at. It's not just about the one shot that came after 2020 that's related to the pandemic. It's about at what point do we look at the industry and how it operates as a whole? How many times do we allow for them to change the definition of what it means? You know, prior to 2020, the definition of a vaccine was that it was supposed to prevent you from contracting the disease. It was never to make the side effects less apparent, which somehow has become the new definition for vaccinations in there. So this is exclusive. This isn't really out there. We wanted to share this with you guys and let you know that we got to the bottom of the measles outbreak and that it's not coming from the immigrants.
It's a lot more than,
correct, than just the one
vaccinated. Correct. That usually happens because a very small person, what happens is the measles is a live vaccine, the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella. And this is a live vaccination. And sometimes in a very small percentage of kids, right? Have you ever gotten a vaccine and you got like a little bit sick for a few days, right? Sometimes the same with COVID. Some people got COVID. Like I know my grandma got the COVID and some people that I know got it. And then for a few days they felt bad, but they continue to live their lives just like they would. They go to the gym, they go to school, they go to work. And they, at this point, they're shedding the vaccine. Now there's been all these experts and people that say, no, vaccines do not shed. This is a theory. This is an anti-vaxxer thing. But what we do know is that there has been a lot of cases traced back to situations like this. And just like, I'll tell you guys right now, just like these experts are telling you, the transgender women's breast milk, it's safe and sound for children. It's the same way that experts tell you that vaccines are safe and effective and they don't shed. Trust and they the will protect you. And before that, everybody was dying. And we could, I could talk about this topic forever, but we don't have a lot, you know, we don't have a lot of time. We wasted a lot of time going back and forth with the situation.
David coming through with a double. Oh, thank you, David. Have a couple of people on here. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Walton that I had missed out a little bit earlier. He said that we were his favorite podcast and that he appreciated us. Thank you so much. Oh, we appreciate you so much too. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us and supporting us. We appreciate you guys so much. Vanessa came through. She's like, thanks for always speaking facts. And Vanessa, thank you for always supporting us. Thank you for always supporting us. We have our friend David Berg coming through with a 9999. And he says, I sold a software company in 2018. And with my other company, I thought I never was going to have to work again. But find myself now working and launching more businesses just to maintain the lifestyle. Also, male breast milk is closer to puss than breast.
It's true. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what is the juice?
What is it? What is that? What is coming what out is the juice? Of you, dude? What is the juice? Is that? What is what that? What is
the juice?
But here's the thing, right? That we're talking about upper, like this, we're talking about classes. Like, David's well off. Like, this isn't, you understand? Yeah. Like, even people that are well off, like, are dude, having to make, trust I was telling me. Linda today, like, we're going, you know, my husband and I do well for ourselves and we're in a dual income household and we're dinks and and there's just certain decisions that maybe we have to find ourselves being a little bit more conscious about that maybe we wouldn't have been before, right? Like, oh, we've already eaten out 3 times this week. Maybe we want to order something out or maybe, you know, we were going to plan a vacation and we're like, maybe it's better to just stay home. This is the small decisions that we're making that have to do with the economy. David Berg came through again because he wanted to show us extra love and support with another contribution saying they want us afraid of being sick, afraid being chronically ill. Mm-hmm. The 2019 measles rant is when I discovered Linda and started my rabbit hole pursuit. That led me on years of relentless research. I know saved my son.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This has touched me so good. I was just talking to Linda about this. Like, it's when you
see the difference between
when you see the difference.
A vaccinated child and an unvaccinated child. And there's a very spiritual component that I don't like to talk about. Yeah. Not because I don't like to talk about spirituality, but if you're first trying to convince a person to be skeptical about a certain type of medicine, if you go through like the spiritual side, they're always going to reel you back with, but science, right? So I don't like to talk about it unless we can discuss it with a person like David that has already gone down the rabbit hole and he knows a lot about the entire situation, right? But there is a very spiritual component. When you see a fully vaccinated child, and I hate to say this about children, I don't like to say it, but it's like their eyes are like a little dead. Like they're not all there. There's something about them, a certain light spirit missing from them, right? When you see a fully or unvaccinated child, they're functioning very normal. They're playing, they're talking before their peers, they're walking before their peers. There's a difference, and she witnessed it. We don't have to say names or anything.
I'm a dink, so I'm not around in my own kids all the time. I'm around my doggies. And I've had the experience of a vaccinated child that I love very much and an unvaccinated child that I was with today. And I called Linda after I was done and I told her, I'm like, it almost like it hurts your soul because the difference is so obvious. It's so clear the developmental differences, how much more advanced a healthy kid that hasn't had, you know, juice bumped into him are. And I just David's comment just like hit it's on my soul as it did today, because I felt so convicted to call Linda as soon as I got in the car and be like, man, it's so crazy how you can see these kids when they're not and when they are, and it's how the difference eyes.
It's in their eyes and it's what's behind the eyes and the life behind the eyes and the light behind the eyes and their children. So you expect to see so much.
They're hyperactive. There. They're supposed to be. They're supposed to be running.
And aware,
they're supposed to be
and
following.
Curious, like, and looking at things for the first time and wondering what is that.
And they're not
and
there.
Curiosity.
They're not
and
there.
It isn't there.
They're not there. And you know what it is? Because I told her when she said that, I said, I don't like to say this to people. But I remember watching a video a long time ago. This person got banned off the internet and I don't think they ever came back because they were sick and tired of everything. It's really spiritual warfare, because what they want to do is lower the consciousness of children from the moment they come out of the womb, right? These are very pure individuals. These are completely untouched, pure humans. And the minute that you start injecting these little humans with stuff is the minute that you start slowly killing their consciousness, you know? So it's really deep. We don't have to get into it. But it is, you know, maybe on Rumble one
maybe
day.
Maybe on Rumble we'll do a little bit
we'll
more
like
in depth.
Like a Rumble
when
special.
We're not on the other platform. I want to give a couple more shout outs because we actually have contributions coming in through TikTok too. Thank you to our TikTok listeners. Yeah, they're coming through. Yeah. I'll show you now. Shout out to Rafaela. Vaccination is not immunization. The War on Children is a great book. May God bless you and protect you all, Rafaela. Thank you so much for supporting us and having our back. We really couldn't do this without you guys. So we appreciate you. BMAC says, I'm glad you guys are back. You're always my favorite. Thank you. Thank you, BMAC. There's a lot of people on the internet, so thank you. And then he says, I work two jobs because full-time with a degree is not enough. And that's that is the reality of most Americans. Mm-hmm. Our friend, Anami Strain? Sorry, I'm mispronouncing that, coming through a $49.99 donation. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Did you see what he said? That he's like, he wrote on the chat, not there. He's like, okay, I've been freeloading a lot for a long time. I'll donate or something. Like that.
Thank you. That was great. And I want to give a moment to the people on our TikTok that are showing us some love. I've got here Lady T sent us some flowers. I have got Joyful Counselors. I've got user 27587. Sorry, I don't know what that is. Joyful Counselors sending some more, Lady T. Thank you, guys. We're still trying to learn. This is our first time going live on TikTok. So thank you guys so much for the support and supporting us on here. If you don't follow us, follow us. We're trying to reach 10K on TikTok and prove the conservatives wrong about the app. So I'm glad that we can bring some clarification about the situation coming out of Broward County with the measles outbreak and what we're finding out. And glad that we can bring some clarification for you guys. Now, this is a topic that honestly, like, I was on the phone. I'm like, we need to talk about this today because my brain is going to explode. So, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Big Marge.
Big Marge. And
Big Marge.
Big Marge tweeted this out today. This might be an unpopular opinion and could hurt some feelings. There are many conservative Christian women who are influencers or leaders. They are selling themselves short and not being good role models by conforming to the world's sexualization of women. If you are a conservative and a Christian, you know you don't have to express yourself in sexual ways. You know that you are
Big Marge
by dressing nice and feminine, and you can be beautiful and modest at the same time. Men will respect you more and think of you much more highly than just a sexual object of gratification. It's also good to not tempt your Christian brothers and cause them to stumble. A conservative Christian woman, let us always be an example to girls and young women by displaying actions that our faith believes and not conform to the patterns of this fallen world. Be the light. Don't fall into the darkness. MTG tweets out, probably wearing Daisy Dukes from her gym, bending over her phone to show everybody her deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who has a serial cheater on her husband, on the guy that she cheated on her husband with. This is the woman who wants to now monitor morality in the Conservative Party.
And this is why we've been saying for some time that there is a very clear and evident psyop where the right continues to lean more towards this blaming women for the downfall of society narrative that started in the red pill, was pushed out on us through the algorithms, and now seems to be infiltrating every single aspect of conservative media. You cannot turn on an Elijah Schaefer, a Candace Owens, a Ben Shapiro, a Matt Walsh. You can't turn on any of that. Now you can't even listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene when she tweets, because it seems like everybody's got beef to take on with women.
It's ridiculous, honestly. It's insane.
The fact that it seems like conservative content is going in the direction where it's 100% very much like the red pill, going to, I guess during an election year, there's nothing more important to talk about than the relationship dynamics between men and women. I can see how Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said that she was going to impeach Joe Biden, doesn't have anything more important to discuss than morality. And it's incredible, because she's not even talking about reserving yourself, your sexual energy, and maybe not being, you know, loose. Mm-hmm. No, it's all about how you're dressed. Like, you need to be more modest, because you don't want to cause other men, your Christian brothers, to stumble. Meanwhile, we've got the head of the Florida GOP having threesomes with his wife, with his Christian wife. And here's the thing. I don't have a problem with whoever's having a threesome, or what people are doing in their private life or behind closed doors, or what they're not doing. That's not the issue. The issue is when you're playing these purity wars, when you're pointing your fingers at other people's lifestyles and saying that's not appropriate, that doesn't fit with my party, I don't want that to be a part of what we represent, when you do the same things. Again, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not a good example for young conservative women. Marjorie Taylor Greene can't keep her butt off social media, and she also can't stop cheating on the men that she's with.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is the epitome of hypocrisy, and not to also dismiss the fact that Laura Loomer has been exposing her for doing stuff behind Trump's back. There's a lot of things that Laura Loomer has said that at first it seems a little crazy. It seems like she's completely off base and just attacking another Republican and being crazy. The reality is that she has been spot on in Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene was actually seen, I think it's a PAC, a super PAC that was supporting Nikki Haley or something like that. She was behind. There's been a lot of shady things that she has done. I don't know why Trump is still keeping her around. Maybe he hasn't actually realized that she is a backstabber. But I think this post, it took me over the edge when I read it this morning, because this is just.
I'm laughing because I hate our haters so much. There's somebody on the TikTok chat that just said, "The Real Housewives of EBT. I love this show."
What's BBT?
Of EBT. The stamps cards. Why are you haters like this? Like, I hate when you guys are funny. Like, that was
no,
funny.
They have a whole thing where, especially against like Cuban Americans, they have a whole thing where they, if you're a Trump supporter, they say that, I guess, Cubans here have the most, or like the viejitos have, they do Obamacare. First of all, you're literally forced to get Obamacare, or it's not Obamacare, affordable health care. If you don't do that, like, all these things were forced upon it. So I don't know if they don't understand that, right? Be like, but that.
It's funny when they say things like that. Just like, I think the woman thing is hilarious. There's a clip that I want to play for you guys that continues to elaborate on the right's new mission.
They're bizarre.
During an election year, buffoonery, which is, we're gonna hunt hoes, and we're gonna hold women accountable when they wear leggings and push-up bras or whatnot. And I'm gonna play this video. Note that Linda was like, "Are we really gonna take people?" I want to play it for you guys, because this is so absurd to me. And let me play it from the beginning.
Exactly what I should be doing for a living. I told you I want to open a hoe clinic, but this has made me realize that my talents are not being best used here. I should be out in the world hunting hoes. I want to embark on this mission in our society and societies all over the world. I love this story. So they have placed her on their most wanted list, just to be clear. Could you imagine?
Candace Owens, you know, political commentator known for Blexit and bringing Black voters, taking them out of the Democrat plantation and bringing them into the Republican Party, has decided that there is nothing more important or relevant for her to do with her time than to focus on hoe hunting now. Now it's going to be her job to hunt hoes and hold them accountable on what they wear and how they behave. Candace seems to have an issue with certain things. I heard recently on a show that she was on, she was talking about how if she had, you know, if you had to choose between being a mother and working, would it be a choice? And she's like, there's just no choice. And immediately, I'm going to be with my children. Immediately, I'm going to be a mother, and that's what I choose. But the reality is that Candace is very well off. Her husband is also very well off. And mm-hmm. the priority was for her to be home with her children. And she really felt that strongly about it. She could stay home and be with her kids. So she works, not because I see anything wrong with that. I'm also a career working woman. You work because you're a career working woman. You know, and this idea that if you wanted to be a housewife, you very well could.
No, and that's actually my problem with Candace Owens, because she continues to push this narrative about being women shouldn't work or women belong in the kitchen. I mean, she hasn't said those words exactly, but she is very anti-feminist. And not only is she employed by another man, she left her, you may love Candace Owens, but she's a hypocrite. She left her 1 month old to go campaign with Vivek. I know feminists, it was a month old. I know feminists that have spent more time with their children, on top of the fact that, like she said, she has a very wealthy husband that she can just stay home. She can just be like Nara Smith. She could be a trot wife. She lied one time, and I know it's a lie because I've spoken to past employees of her. She lied and said, and I don't know which podcast, I think it was with Patrick, the guy from Valuetainment. That she cooks three meals for her husband. I mean, who believes that? Who believes that Candace Owens? Who believes that? Who believes that? Nobody believes that. No one's believing Candace Owens when she says that she cooks three meals for her husband. I know for a fact she doesn't, because I know people that used to work for her, and they this is all just a front for the internet. And if you wanted to set an example that women shouldn't work, you should quit the Daily Wire. You should quit your podcast. You should focus on your children. Be the example. That's actually what Candace Owens should do. She should quit politics altogether, and she should stay home with her children.
She should stay home, and she should be an example to other young women that are maybe pursuing careers and say, look, I did it, and you should do mm-hmm. it too. I left my career, my club, the Daily Wire. I left all of that so that I can be a stay-at-home wife with my mom. And here's the problem. I don't think that women should do that. I don't think that we live that. Forget just women. From like a red pill type perspective, I feel like it's a lot of pressure for society to put on a young man to tell him that the normal is that he needs to be able to maintain a household, a wife and children on one income, when we're living in times when eggs are literally at $10. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure to put on a young man trying to make it. The reality is that the fastest way out of poverty in America is a dual income household, and that poor people have to work. And that the true example is being an example of what the modern woman in America should look like. A modern woman in America should have a job that allows her work-life balance so that she could be with her family as well. She should have a husband that also helps in the house, that also helps picking up the kids or dropping off the kids or whatever it is. It's what America, modern day America, looks like. This idea that modern day women, that Western women are all OnlyFans girls, that somehow Western men are, there's just a bunch of Andrew Tates walking around everywhere. This is not the reality. I always laugh when people are like, oh, you're a four or you're a three, because, you know, the internet loves to rate women, and, you know, I'm past my prime and overweight and all these other things. And they're like, oh, well, you're a four. Here's the reality. Yes, I'm mid. Most of you are also mid. Most of us are mid. A very small percentage of the population isn't.
Look, and here's the other thing, which was one of our last topics, because we've been recording, we lost so much time. We're at 77 minutes. There is this myth, and women don't like to hear it. I've lost followers over. There is a myth that women didn't work back in the day, right? The aspiration for the trad wife is the 1950s trad wife with the cute little dress and the heels, and she has a vacuum. We've all seen those posters. It looks really cute. But the reality is that we go back 100 years or even more than that. Let's go back to the Mayflower, right? Let's go back to when pilgrims first arrived in America. The First Americans is actually a channel that I just bumped into the other night for some reason. And it's basically a family. I think it's a couple and maybe other people. That's the channel Bella's about to show you. It has, 1.2 million subscribers. It's super cool. They're not political. It's not a trad wife. It's nobody trying to LARP on the internet. They're basically cosplaying and showing you how the early Americans lived, how they made their food, what they did in winter, how they raised their children, the daily chores, how they got around town, everything that the early Americans did. I didn't know this existed. I'm hooked. I love it. I think it's so cool. The other day, she was actually showing how women back in the day used to make like a night cream if they ran out and whatnot. And so what you will see and what you were, you know, if you people actually lived in reality, is that women have always worked. And women were working, whether it was in the fields, whether it was for their husbands, whether it was for somebody else. Very few women, mostly the upper class, the rich women, had the ability to stay home, and they actually weren't baking bread, because if you were in the upper class society, you had maids and staff doing that for you. And I posted that on Saturday on my Instagram. I said, I don't understand where this idea of the trads come from, that women weren't working. That's just simply not true. Women have always worked in one way or another, whether it's sewing or farming or whatever it was. And it was a lot tougher back then because you had less tools. If you needed to wash your clothes, you had to go to the river and you had to spend all this time in the cold washing like this, right? And you know, if you had to cook and it was from scratch and you had to, there was a lot of things. And of course, so many people replied back to me, and most of them were saying, thank you so much. Like, this is so true. There was one girl that she's been following me for a very long time. And she said, you know, back in the day, my great grandfather committed suicide and left my great grandma with 4 children. And my great grandma had no other, you know, this was over 100 years ago, or probably 100 years ago. My great grandma had no choice but to go work in the mines, or I forgot what, like, very manly, like, tough job she had to do, because her husband committed suicide and she had no other choice but to work. And so if you want to actually go back to traditionalism and see how hard it was for women and men back in the day, because I don't know, all of a sudden the right just wants to go back in time to a time when you had to clean your baby's diaper because it was cloth diapers. I think I had, you know, they want to, I don't know what the hell is wrong with them. Go watch the channel and tell me if women were just sitting around, frolicking, picking sunflowers, sunbathing. That was not
frolicking in the flowers, baking sourdough bread.
That was not the case,
bro. It's just the entire thing is such a LARP, and it's like you don't enjoy. Like, this isn't real. This idea isn't real. This entire thing is selling people on a LARP. And I had actually mentioned to Linda that I genuinely feel like it's an attack on the middle class. I genuinely feel like it's an attack on the middle class, because back to the argument that I was making about young men now thinking that they need to be able to withstand an entire household on one income, because they're being just as programmed as young women to be like, oh, I need to stay home. And if I'm going to have value, then I need to be a stay-at-home wife, putting that pressure on young men. What are you doing? If the fastest way out of poverty for an American is a dual income household, and you're psyoping all of these kids to rely on only one income during probably the hardest economic times that this country has ever seen, then what you are doing is that you are guaranteeing more people will go into poverty, mm-hmm. therefore doing a direct attack on the middle class.
Right. Right.
I believe much bigger psyop that actually encompasses that part.
And the other part that I brought up was that, and The Economist actually put out an article that said marrying your cousin is fine, actually, in some cases. And of course, you have all these right-wing reactionaries on Twitter. Oh, this is the Rothschild, you know, Chase from the whatever podcast. This is just a plot from the Illuminati. They want us to inbreed, and this is disgusting. And I said, wait until you find out that back in the day, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and actually still many times now in the modern day, 50 years ago, it was the norm to marry you off to your distant cousin, to your second cousin, to your third cousin.
It was, in fact, such a traditional thing for people to do that this wasn't hillbillies marrying their cousins.
No.
The royal family is
Queen Elizabeth and
for
Prince
marrying
Philip,
their cousins. Their second, third, and fourth cousins. Why? So that they can maintain the purity of the blood. In
and
fact,
the money.
It's interesting that Chase would bring up the Rothschilds, because even within the Rothschild family, they would also mate with second and third cousins in hopes of maintaining the purity of the bloodline. So the reality is that if you really want it to be traditional, there might be nothing more traditional than inbreeding with your cousin.
Mm-hmm. So all that to say, you know, how far back? I had this conversation with another trad wife. She didn't really like it on Twitter. She was saying that you should marry a person that you're sexually attracted to, because it's one of the last things that we have in the modern world or that could save a marriage is, you know, you have a lot of sex and you're sexually attracted. And I made the argument, and he said, do you realize that back in the day, you didn't marry for sex? You didn't marry those that you were attracted to. You didn't have a choice. You were married at 14, 15 years old to your distant cousin that was 45 or 35, and you had to shut the fuck up and do what you were supposed to do, because it was your duty to breed and to procreate and to carry on the family lineage. That's all. And there's this whole weird, like, it's just so weird to me. It's so weird to me. It's so weird.
Someone in
me.
Our TikTok chat said, you're not traditional women. Yeah, we know we're not LARPing as traditional women. We're actually very modern Western women.
Right, we're trying to debunk the trads because they have this ideology. The men, for example, think that back in the day, there was a lineup of virgins, all nines and tens. The men think that back in the day, your parents came home with 8 chicks that were 14 years old, 16 years old, up to 18, up to 20, all 8s to 10s, the most beautiful girls in the town. And then they said, son,
take your pick. Take your pick. Which one are we trading goats for?
That's what the men think. But in reality, your father would come home and say, Austin, I have arranged a marriage for you to marry Lena. And it's happening in 3 days. And you had no choice. And you were married off.
And sometimes
and that bitch could
Lena
have bad
wasn't
breath.
Great.
Sometimes. And she could look like Fiona from Shrek.
But her family had the right bloodline. Exactly. And her family had the farm, and they had five goats, and theirs only had two.
And that's what you had to do. And if you're Austin, you would suck it up, and you'd go and you have sex with your new wife that you were not attracted to. And eventually you liked her. You loved her. You were okay with her. Maybe you had some, you know, escapades here and there, and had sex with a tavern woman every once in a while, and had some bastards running around. But you don't have a choice. You didn't have a pick. You know who also didn't have a choice in who he married in modern day times? Prince Charles. There's a reason why he's married to the love of his life now, Camilla Parker Bowles. Parker Bowles. Because he didn't have a choice. He was a prince. You understand? Most of us, myself included, we are all peasants, right? We're not monarchy. If the monarchy had no choice in who to marry, and this was only, 50 years ago? How old is Prince Charles? When did they get married? I mean, I don't know.
In the 80s or 90s?
What makes you think that you, as a peasant, 100 years ago, had a plethora of virgins that you were going to choose from? That she was a virgin, 100%. That she was a 10, that she looked like Adriana Lima in her prime. Because nowadays, I see really funny tweets, right? They see a chick, it happened this week. They saw a chick that was taken on a crazy date. The guy, she's like, oh, I think she's like 23 years old. Oh, come, come, princess treatment or nothing else. The guy took me to Hermes. He bought me a pair of shoes. Then we went to this dining place. And we went here. Then we went there. And the caption of the viral tweet was, I can't believe that men are paying this much for ran through pussy or for mids or careful. for women that are not that hot.
No, nosotros no vamos a votar de TikTok, tranquilo.
And the comments were all men saying how unattractive the girl was or how could you do all this for a girl that's a 5, a 6? I said, well, possibly because the guy is probably old as shit, like 60 years old, and she's 23. So to him, that's a catch, right? She's young. But at the same time, what makes you think that back in the day you had the choice of marrying the hottest chick on the block? You didn't. All this is a modern day invention. All this love and romanticism and I want to marry the guy I have the most sexual chemistry or the girl. That's all a modern day invention. But the trads like to pick and choose what they want to be traditional about. They want to be traditional about this, but they want to be
they want to pick and choose.
But they talk about sex all the time. It's the weirdest thing. Lisa knows about it. We talk about this on Twitter. They pick and choose what they want to be trad about. I want to be trad about this, but I don't want to marry my cousin. You would have been married off to your cousin. You know who
else? Married
off to her cousin? I posted it on Twitter. If you guys know, the liberator of Latin America, Simón Bolívar, that liberated Colombia, Venezuela, Panama, Ecuador, Peru. His sister was actually married off when she was 15 years old to her older cousin, and they had 4 children, and she died well in her 60s. And that's the reality of how it was back in the day. It wasn't all these like beautiful, you know, and you didn't get to choose the hottest man that you were sexually attracted to.
You could wear your sundresses all day and bake sourdough bread.
240 years ago, Simon Bolivar's sister was 15, was married off to her like 35-year-old plus cousin. And that was the end of it. You know, you guys can actually watch the show. It's really good on Netflix. I always tell people.
Let's go through a few of these last
super chats.
Yeah, and we'll take a couple questions and then we'll get going, guys, because it's been a long one. We've got, BMAC actually came through. Oh, that we've got to read Project Shaney. My girl Shaney, she says, I know how much you both have inspired mommies to say no to indoctrinated doctors. Big ups to all the unvaxxed babies that have been born in the last few years. Thank you, Latinas. Love you, Shaney, so much. Love you, Shaney, so much. We'll take some last minute questions if you guys have any before we wrap things up for good. I don't know why people thought incels didn't exist back then. They were just called nerds or virgins. This is very true.
Lisa, and I didn't post this on Twitter, but I continue to have beef with Pearl on Instagram. And all I said was that she lied about me by my followers and that she told me I needed to be hotter for my brand, which I think is ironic because I don't think she's attractive. But, you know, nowadays we elevate the ugly and we just let, you know, the unfortunate looking take over. But you know what she said was that she got really mad because I was trying her about her ex-boyfriend and all these things. And she literally said that she alluded to the fact that I was a hooker. And I think she ended up feeling bad about that. And she ended up deleting that. She actually deleted a lot of the comments that she said. She tried fat shaming me, which I'm okay if you fat shame me if you look better than me, right? Like, I'm fine with that. I think I should lose more weight. But if you look like SpongeBob SquarePants and a walking lobster, it's going to be very difficult for me to take your advice, number one. And then after she couldn't fat shame me, she tried to slut shame me. And she said
that, get off of OnlyFans.
No, she didn't say that. She said that my Instagram was not modest. And that it was probably the reason why guys thought I was easy. So then I went through her pictures and started commenting, is this modest? You wearing coochie shorts?
I deem inappropriate.
Is this modest? You putting an ass shot so that your Sims can see your ass crack and they can say how much they like you. Is it modest to wear shorts and a crop top in Vegas? I don't think this is modest. But
for the modesty
for
police.
The modesty police, but you know, it is what it is. No harsh feelings with Pearly.
I want to give a shout out and welcome to the people that are following us. A lot of people are finding us through the live option on TikTok, and they're like, I just got here hearing you guys for the first time, and I like your content. People are finding us through TikTok on the TikTok algorithm, and they're giving us, there's a little one jerk there, which is okay. But a bunch of people telling us, love your deconstruction of cultural and political discussions. Welcome. I'm new here. Basically, you ran through. Are you new here? Are you new here? Oh, Swizz in the chat. We got a lot of new people. So if you're finding us through the TikTok app, I don't know how often we're going to be doing this. I'll definitely put on shoes next time. We weren't expecting to go on to the TikTok. But welcome, you guys. And please shoot us a little follow. We're going to be putting out more content. And come on over to our YouTube channel.
I want to piss off the Puritans real quick on Twitter. The Repo Bros. The other day,
I saw the appraisal ring of a sex worker, a very high paid sex worker. And she, you know, she confessed with me that I always assumed that she was a sex worker, but I never asked. And then finally she told me she was a sex worker. And I assume she was a sex worker based on the amount of luxury goods that she has, which are, it's an insane collection of Chanel, Hermes, and every expensive bag that you can think of. And then obviously her lifestyle. But you know what? I saw the ring that she got from one of the men that wanted to marry her. And that ring is worth $200,000. So for you, for those of you men out there on TikTok, and this actually brings me great joy, not because I have sex for money, but it brings me such great joy because you guys,
you all taking the
yes,
L.
Yes. It really brings me such great joy. Because some of you out there say you're ran through and no one's ever going to love you and no one's ever going to want you. And the reality is that these very filthy rich men are so busy that they hire these escorts to go with them on trips or on dinners. And what happens is they end up falling for these chicks and they end up getting $200,000 rings.
We say it all the time.
What are you doing? Calling women ran through
on the internet. And we say it all the time. You guys don't want to admit it. And that's all right because we're used to taking the L on this because we're not hoes and hoes win. And you guys don't like to admit that because you want to believe us. You want to trick women into thinking that somehow you degenerates are rewarding modest behavior. But all you got to do is talk like to the modest women, the good girls, the ones that are in bed before midnight, the ones that have to go to school, the ones that have jobs. And you can talk to them. And guess what they're not doing? They're not getting flown out to Dubai. They're not getting luxury handbags. Nope. They're not getting $200,000 rings. No, those are the girls that are modestly marrying a guy who's maybe has the car doesn't start every morning if it's too cold. Maybe the ones that are with the guy when he doesn't have any money. Yeah. Maybe they've got to share one car. The good girls do that, which is fine. I'm used to it. But don't tell me a good girl that has watched hoes win my entire life around me that I've had to take L's. Because I've seen men pick holes around me. The holes don't win because they do win. If they didn't win, then OnlyFans wouldn't be going up in popularity, not down. Yeah. You would think that all of these red pill shows, the hoe hunters, I mean, Candace Owens, a hoe hunter, all of these hoe hunters out there, what do you mean to tell me that sex work isn't at a decline? You mean to tell me that OnlyFans is operating now with more profitability than it did in 2020?
And I love it when the one guy there that's bitter, that says, money's not everything, then why do you follow Andrew Tate? Why do you follow Andrew Tate? Do you know that Andrew and Tristan
this
Tate?
Is the best
hold
point.
On. Do you know that Andrew and Tristan Tate's baby mamas are all sex workers?
Do
you know that the children of Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate are gonna have to see their mom's coochie on the internet? No matter how hard these
damn.
brothers,
get yourself that good girl, you know,
brothers,
the Tate's
these brothers. These brothers try to hide from that.
I love
their mommies are sex workers
And I know that because I've seen their porn. I've seen they were exposed, and I've seen their pictures, their corn online.
Corn on the cob, on the line. Somebody said, that's because you guys don't value, you guys only value money, you don't value the things that really matter. Let me explain something to you.
What matters?
The Plug is a sex worker. She does pornography. And Lena the Plug is married. They make millions of dollars. They have kids. She's got a husband. She's got children. She's got a house. So, again, don't tell me hoes don't win, because it's not like, oh, that's because you think that it's only money. No, they're not just winning because they're getting purses or because they're getting everything. They're also winning because they're also getting husbands and rings and homes and children. And guess what? They win not because of me and Linda. They win because men reward that behavior.
Yeah, not us.
Why are you mad at me for saying the reality? The hoes do win because men are the ones that reward them. You don't got a bone to pick with me, sir. You got a bone to pick with men that continue to record.
No, Once again, the only reason why I brought that up, because he's calling us ran through for whatever reason, which is the new word circled in these Red Post spaces. Cool. So I'm going to give you the example of how ran through hoes are getting $200,000 rings. I don't need to bring that up. But if you want to position all of us as whores, then I'm going to have to rub it in your face that tomorrow when you wake up to your minimum wage job as you drive your shitty ass car, there's a girl out there that sleeps around the women that you hate so much, who can retire. Actually, she's retired. Never mind. And now through this bag collection that she has, she could actually, remember I was telling you, I was like, if she sells every single one of those bags, she could get a couple million and live off forever from that. So, you know, stop hating on hoes. Hoes have always existed.
Just ignore them. Like, what's the best way? Like, don't give them access to you. Yeah. Like, that's the only punishment. You're a random person on the internet. To you gentlemen on the chat on TikTok, you're a random person on TikTok. Yeah, you just said that you're getting ready to go to a third world country to find a wife. You also said that we were too young, which implies that you're older than we are. Yeah. So you are a dusty gentleman looking for a young bride in another country, and you don't even have the funds to fund your trip to go find your wife in the third world country.
Does he have a give, send, go to send him money?
I would like to send him money. If you have a give, send, go, Mr. Jose Enriquez, I would like to send you money so that you can find your trad wife. I want to read a contribution that just came through on the chat from American Advocate. And he says, those ethots don't realize that they became undesirable. I saw Linda's Instagram. I was like, dang, that's a woman.
Thank you, American Advocate.
Yeah, I think that the reality is that we need to understand something. We're talking about traditional things. If you're looking at the 18th century, we had things like courtesans back in the day, where men that were married off to their wives, again, because of how many goats they had or what the last name was. Then they went off and they found the women they were actually attracted to and found that in whores. And here's the problem. I talk about this with Linda.
That's why.
I hung out with men. Like, I know I've got men. And there used to be a time when men just enjoyed the time that they spent with hoes. Like, it was just a good time. You used to go to a strip club and you used to hang out with them. And then you had a wife that you had at home and you treated her nicely and all these things.
We're not encouraging this. We're just saying this is
the reality. This is like the reality. If you're going to deny that, then tell me, why has OnlyFans, if all of this Red Pill content, if Fresh and Fit is the most popular podcast, men's podcast in the world, if Andrew Tate is the most Googled man in the world, if we are shifting culture, if everybody's talking about the Red Pill, why is OnlyFans not losing popularity? Why is it gaining popularity? Why do these women that go on these shows then see that their following goes up once they get out of these shows? It's because, I'm sorry, a lot of the men on the internet are hypocrites. A lot of the men on the internet, these are the same men that are like, oh, I prefer a woman without makeup. I prefer a woman without makeup. But then you go on your social media and the girls that you're checking out are the ones that got the freaking Botas and the Pam Anderson and the thing going on. So why are you fronting? Why are you lying to people?
That's their expertise, to be hypocritical.
What's your dad doing? My dad's very proud of me. Once again, the problem is that a lot of the people are like, you're not really traditional. We don't LARP as traditional. We don't LARP as traditional. Mm-hmm. We LARP as Western modern women. But in fact, with me, I'm post war. I'm overweight. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All of those things.
I did not get out of
Colombia to come here and be poor and be cleaning fucking pig shit or whatever it is. I mean, if that's you and you want to do that in your finca or whatever, then do that. But that was a job reserved for the poor where I'm from.
I want Jose Enriquez to go be a passport bro in the Philippines or in Colombia. Go find yourself your, well, the people in, the thing is that our followers are owning him. Why aren't you going back home and talk like that? I do go home and talk like this. This is the problem that you guys don't understand. We talk like this all the time. This is who we are. Linda and I don't LARP as traditional women. We are what we are. We are modern women. And what we do is call out the hypocrisy of people that live in this modern world, exist in this modern world, and have to make excuses for their mediocre lives by blaming the downfall of society on women. Let's be very honest. If you guys are truly the leaders of society and you create societies and you build societies and men are all this, which, by the way, I happen to agree with, then let's be all the way for real. If society failed, it's because you failed at being a man. Not you directly, I mean the male species. We're not going to put that on women because women are the weaker gender, as we already know. And don't you call for us to be submissive? So I think that it is hilarious when you also want to be called the creators of the world and the world will fall apart if it wasn't for men. But somehow it was women that brought in the downfall. GFY, bro, honestly.
Jose Enrique, the reality is that you're going to die soon. And you're old. You're gonna die
you're,
soon.
You're a senior you're, gentleman.
You're literally you're a about senior to hit, gentleman. Like, you're about to hit the grave. That's, and the last thing that you should be doing is trolling younger women on the internet.
Probably, you know what he's probably doing now that I think about it? He's probably waiting on his social security check to come in so that he can take the social security check to La Filipinas to go find himself una muchachita that's living in poverty.
Oh, wait, and yes, we do listen to the sprinkle sprinkle lady to whoever said it. But we gotta go. Look,
all right.
Our friends gotta go.
Oh, we gotta go, sorry. Guys. Guys, go. It's been so much fun. If you don't follow us, check us out here. We're on TikTok at Mostly Peaceful Latinas, on YouTube at Mostly Peaceful Latinas, on Twitter, managed by Linda, at MPL Podcast 305. And we will see you guys next week, Thursday, 9:30 p.m. at our regular hour. Talk to you guys then.
Bye.